Hello, footies, and thank you for joining us once again for Foot in Review, where we've been bringing you leading analysis and opinion on all things FIFA and EAFC since 2019. Today's show is proudly brought to you by footcoaching.com, your number one place for you to get better at FC24. Also, if you want to help support this show directly, please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/footinreview. You get a range of benefits, including exclusive merchandise, coaching discounts, and much, much more, including ad-free access to the show, which means you won't be hearing this very advertisement. However, we realise that times are tough, so simply leaving us a five-star review wherever you listen to us will be greatly appreciated as it helps the show grow. We'd also like to thank our Skybox holder, Peter, for his exceptional support. Now, let's get to today's show. Hello, footies. Welcome back to your latest dose of EAFC Ultimate Team podcasting goodness. We are Foot in Review, powered by footcoaching.com. My name is Dan Wimbush. I am joined by my main man, Shaq Attack, through our latest odyssey as Team of the Year rolls on and slowly creeps towards its conclusion. But for many of us, I think that's probably going to be a good thing. We're going to get into all of the ups and downs so far from Team of the Year, our general thoughts on the promo, and just kind of things going forward. You know, lots of frustration around from certain people about the game within the community and the pack weight and all things like that. We're going to get into all of that. We'll also round up all of the content. We'll take your questions in the mailbag. We've got player in review as well, of course. But before we go any further and before I bring Shaq into today's show, I'd just like to announce some exciting changes as this podcast rolls on towards episode 600. It's something we've wanted to do for a long time, and we finally decided to pull the trigger and do it. Look, we're proud of our community, and all of us spend plenty of time in our Discord server. We talk, we stream, we help each other out, and it's allowed us people, you know, to join us for this very show live as well. So, starting from right now, we've decided to open up the Discord server to everyone for free. Now, as previously, you had to be a Patreon member. Now it's absolutely free. Anybody can join. You will find the link for it in the show notes from this show and all shows going forward. Click the link and you're in. Just download the Discord app. It's free from whatever app store you use. And of course, you can get it on your PC or laptop as well. I sound really old when I say it like that. Of course, we haven't forgotten about our patrons who really help make this show even better and go that extra mile to show their support. There's a VIP exclusive area in the Discord server. And of course, that VIP area will also have the exclusive tactics released by the Team Foot Coaching crew, right the way from its draft and kind of the overall initial thoughts right through to the finished product as well. Plus, all of our patrons will get exclusive additional discounts on Foot Coaching service. Of course, we've got the merchandise going on. And as well as another benefit, we're now going to open up the trading show to all Patreon members. Previously, it was in the supporter tier and above. Now it is for everybody. So look, come on in, join the Discord. It is a great place to be. We hang out all day. There are people from around the world. You know, Shaq over there in Australia. We've got people in Europe, in the States, all around the world. There is someone usually talking at some time of the day. Come join in. And yeah, great. Be great to see some new faces in there. Right. Let's get into the show then, Shaq. First of all, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm doing as well as I possibly can be, but I am feeling a bit weary. It's been a hard grind. I would like to say it's been an enjoyable grind, but it genuinely hasn't been an enjoyable grind. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
It is. Yeah, I think the grind is the best thing. Now, I was thinking all week, and as I sat there doing League SBCs over and over and over and over again, of a good analogy for this whole grind. And the best one I could come up with for Team of the Year, just overall so far, and of course we'll get into content and specific gripes later, is, but Shaq, I don't know if it's probably different in Australia because you have Christmas in the summer. But over here in Europe, it's winter, and they have these things called Winter Wonderland. I don't know, do they have them in Australia, Winter Wonderland?
We do actually, yeah, we do, during July.
Excellent. So, you know, you'll see these posters up for Winter Wonderland coming to your town, and it's got pictures of, you know, these nice wooden shacks selling, you know, little hand trinkets and things and hot chocolate, and there'll be Santa there and there'll be presents, there'll be shots of fairground rides. And you look at this and you think, this is going to be great. This is just what I need over Christmas. And then you go and you read the fine print and it's like £30 a ticket. And you're like, okay, right. I want to go. I'll pay my £30 for a ticket. You get in there. Now, some people will get into Winter Wonderland. They'll have their hot chocolate. It'll be delicious. It'll be warm. The Santa's the one they've always dreamed of. You know, they'll find something at a store they really like, and they'll think this is going to be a great present for Granny. And, you know, they'll ride the Ferris wheel. They'll get on with no problem at all, and they'll have a brilliant time. Other people will get in, the hot chocolate will be cold, there'll be a 25-minute ride for a 30-second spin on the carousel. All of the things on the stalls will be overpriced, it will be raining, and you'll generally want to leave as soon as you've been there, except for the fact that you've spent £80 to get your family in. That is what Team of the Year is like for me, Shaq. If you get in at the right time, and you have the right moment, and you pack that lovely blue, you've probably left Winter Wonderland with the best feeling in the world. For the rest of us, we're sat in the rain queuing for that 30-second carousel, and we're just vainly hoping that it'll be worth the wait. But, mate, this is testing me. This promo's testing me.
I don't think I can find a better analogy than that, and it's so spot on, exactly what you've mentioned. It's just some people are enjoying this beautiful sunshine. There's very few people that are enjoying this glow, this warm winter glow that you're talking about, and there's majority of people that just feel like they're in hell and there's no way out.
Yeah,
that's how it feels.
Yeah, when you've got that team there, you're in that log cabin, you know, with your toasty hot chocolate, looking out of the snow falling down. And if you haven't got the Team of the Year, you're outside, drenched from snow, with inappropriate footwear, and waiting on. But it's so difficult. It is so difficult now. The guys talked about it on the weekend show, about the pack weight being changed and lowered. And to me, Shaq, we can understand as a community. In fact, we'll get to content later. Let's just, because this is what people want to talk about. We understand that Team of the Year should be very difficult to pack. It shouldn't be the case of everybody has their end game team in January. Because if you've got, Shaq, if you've got five Team of the Years, your team would basically be done. You would slowly lose the motivation, especially for the next few promos, because you'd be like, well, no one's going to improve my team. You know, I've got Messi, De Bruyne, Diaz, Van Dijk, Bellingham. Why do I really need to grind on? So we understand that. But the sheer lack of blues in general, I just think, is so tight and stingy, especially for the amount of grind that people have put in. And especially when you layer in that fact that EA deliberately dropped the pack weight as well to make an already hard to pack thing even harder.
Exactly. I think some of the things that really have really turned the community, especially people like me, off is the pack weights seemed to be different the first week. It seemed to be decent. I'm not saying everyone was packing Team of the Year's left, right, and center, but it seemed to be decent. It seemed to be healthy. And even fodder, people were getting across fodder. People were able to do SBCs. And roll around Friday, 6 p.m., it's almost like the dead switch, the doom switch that you, as you keep referring to, was turned on. And it's impossible to pack fodder. Like, I can't really open another 8310 pack to pack 84s as my top-rated player. It's sickening. It's just because I've used to do the 8310s, and I believe I've completed Hullet and Mbappe just by doing 8310s. And right now, I've probably completed half the segments of best, and that to the lower ones. The higher-rated segments haven't even touched them, because you can't. I don't have a chance to pack an 88. 89s, 90s, and 91s, you can forget about it. I don't think there's any 91s in packs, but 90s and 88s, 89s, and 90s are almost impossible to pack in my scope as well. So I'm not even getting fodder. People are not getting fodder because most of the fodder cards have been put up into special cards, which is fair enough. But then those special cards are impossible to pack as well. So it's just, and the worst part amongst all this is, because the Team of the Year is so rare to pack, all the other cards that we probably could have said, you know what, screw it, I'll just go buy something else. Everything shot up, which was so low, while the Team of the Years were low. And that's what gets me, is that why would they suddenly change everything to make it so one-dimensional at a time like this? And I think one of the things that I'm most worried about as well is the fact that, you remember there was a lull, I can't remember when it was, maybe after Thunderstruck or before Thunderstruck, where we weren't facing many different opponents. It was sweaty grinders after sweaty grinders. And I have a feeling straight after Team of the Year, in fact, even from this weekend onwards, you'll see majority of the community just drop off because it's just not worth their time anymore.
I can't do anything but agree with that. And I think especially with the way the gameplay is this year, it's been a game that not a lot of people have really enjoyed. There have been lots of, and I found it to be fine, but I can't say it's been the gameplay that's made me go, I really just want to play games. I really want to play games and play games. And like you say, you layer in this underwhelming feeling from trying hard to get blues and not getting blues. And like you say, not even then being able to complete the SBCs you want to, because you just can't get the fodder to do it. It is going to drive people away from the game. I think it's an unavoidable situation. However, the key thing here, Shaq, and the overarching thing that we'll need to all bear in mind with this is that EA probably, I'm sure they care, but actually they probably don't care, because they are making so much money. So much money on this. We've never had this array of store packs for Team of the Year before. And just in general for EAFC, it's been a non-stop deluge of £20 pack, £30 pack, £40 pack, £50 pack. Like, they are making so much. And it might be that 100 of us leave the game, but then there's that one person that's gone and spent £400, £500, £600 on packs. And EA, as far as they're concerned, if they are keeping that person engaged, that is all they care about. They will be measuring all of these metrics now. They will be looking at who is spending their money on packs and when, and they will be tailoring their content and the way their strategies for promos going ahead to all that data. That is all they will care about. I'm sorry. I'm sure there are people at EA Sports and people that work on this title that very much care about the community, but they will be getting overridden by the people that want to make the profits. They want to make profits for the overall state of the company, for shareholders, for the share price. And Shaq, we just need to accept, not accept it, but understand that that is what, the almighty dollar rules here.
Definitely. I think one of the things that the community always bandages about is EA don't play their own game. EA, they don't really care about the game. I think a majority of people, you work in a corporation, so do I, and majority of the people that work for the corporation have the end customer in sight. But at the end of the day, a corporation is a corporation. They're there to make money as well. So I understand that. But I guess one of the things that I'm really failing to understand is at some point, those two need to meet to make things healthy. By continuing this toxicity within the community, for example, even removing things like, I know the community has done bits and bobs to try and, hack people's Twitter handles and blah, blah, blah. I understand that. But there is literally no source of communication coming through. That's the starting point. And then you layer all these extra things, exactly as you said, about the pack weights, about the prices of packs and the ridiculous amount of prices of packs that are going through. And one of the things that I was talking to John earlier, and most of the packs in the store are untradeable packs. There's very few packs that actually are tradable, and tradable packs, for whatever reason, the odds are much lower than the untradeable packs, which kind of makes sense. So you're more inclined to open an untradeable pack. The effects of that are there's hardly any Team of the Years on the market. So if you want to buy Team of the Years, you don't really get them. Look, I'm coming from the point of view, I don't necessarily care about Team of the Years or packing Team of the Years or using it. I shouldn't have access to Team of the Years just because I have pack saved or I've played the game for 10 years. I don't deserve a Team of the Year. That's not even my argument. My argument is because all those packs are untradeable, it results in the fodder that's not working. So one of the things that we were so proud of with the Thunderstruck promo was that there was SBCs for us to keep us engaged. There was fodder coming through left, right, and center. If you didn't pack a top card, I didn't pack a top card through Thunderstruck. Did that bother me? Not one bit, because I was getting additions to the team. One of the things that we spoke about before in the last episode that we did together, incidentally, I got a couple of DMs talking about the last episode and how jolly and happy we were about Team of the Year approaching. And I was in Kevin's stream earlier this afternoon, and he was joking about, he was listening to the pod that we recorded last week and said, oh, how jolly you guys were. And look at this. We were so happy. We were expecting that, forget packing Team of the Years. We'll just get some fodder. We'll get some SBCs done. Everything's great. And a lot of people have suggested, oh, we should open packs earlier. And people have completed SBCs when the fodder was flowing. It shouldn't be this complicated. It shouldn't be this complicated. We're not asking for too much.
No, and I think it's the deliberate strategy decisions taken by EA. So, the removing of the 83x10s, the removing of the 84x5s.
Yes.
This 10 player picks every 2 days. What? Why? Who? like, none of it makes sense. The lack of a place for you to put your 83s and 84s, these are all deliberate strategy decisions that someone has taken, with presumably the goal being to increase frustration and thereby, as a byproduct of that frustration, drive people to buy store packs. Like you say, to finish off Sauer, to finish off Best, to finish off Eusebio, to finish off Hullet, or to have that chance of packing a team of the year. Now, this is a good point to segue into something that Nick Run the Foot Market put out a video on the other day about how he is increasingly uncomfortable with EA's strategy and the amount of store packs that they are putting out. And it's, he sort, in his words, I'm paraphrasing, video is up on his channels. Everyone listening to this show will probably know where to find Nick. He was sort of saying that he's now starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable with opening allowing people to open all of these store packs on his streams, because he's worried about the message it's sending out to his audience. And by his own admittance, he thinks he's got a lot of younger viewers. And in his words, it was like, you know, they're seeing me open all these packs and, you know, they're thinking, and they do finally see someone hit a blue and they're thinking, oh, well, I'll go and get that pack, that $30 pack. Now, and he points out how it used to be, well, there used to be like ultimate packs or 100K packs. And the argument used to be that you'd watch a Castro, you'd watch a Bateson, and you'll watch Nick, and you'll watch those streamers that have the income from the game to spend on the game. And you'd sit there and you'd watch them open up 1,500K packs and not get a team of the year. And then in your head, you'd go, oof, I'm not going to do that. I've seen that. It's rubbish. But you sit there and you watch these people open a £40, $40 pack and they get something. And it's much more encouraging for somebody, particularly those in a vulnerable position, be it through age or financial circumstance or compulsions, all the things that myself and Aaron talked about in our Christmas specials. Those people see that the streamers open these packs and they go and want to do them because they see that as the route to get what they want, either the fodder or the players. And he's starting to get to the point where he's now, Nick, this is getting to the point where he's thinking, well, maybe I put a limit on it. Maybe I say we're only going to open these packs for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, or even it'll just be me on my content account doing it. I mean, Shaq, can you see where Nick's coming from? And do you think this is just a bigger thing that more streamers maybe need to have a think about?
100%. I completely agree. I think this point that he spoke about, the ultimate packs and the jumbo rare player packs, which Castro and Bateson, especially, I think Bateson used to spam pack after pack after pack after pack with absolutely nothing. And he would just discard everything, just keep moving on. He would churn through millions of points in one sitting. And it never enticed you as a viewer to think, oh, I need to go do that. Whereas now the packs have changed. I'll give you a really live example, and something that I probably spoke to you about this week was I played a game. I was using, sorry for being a rat, but I was using Lone Ronaldinho because I thought I've had this Lone Ronaldinho for a while. Everyone's using Team of the Year cards. I don't have any Team of the Year cards. Let me just try and put my Lone Ronaldinho in. And I had so much fun with that guy. I was so much fun with him. And lo and behold, I came up against a Thunderstruck Ronaldinho against me, and he was amazing. And it looked like this guy had just packed him recently as well, because it was on basic. He didn't have a chemistry style. And I just thought, hang on, there's a pack in the store that has three guaranteed icons, and Thunderstruck icons are part of it. And I sent you a message. I sent you a message saying, I just have a feeling that if I put some money in, I'll get something. And you said, nah, don't do it. And I sent you a clip of a video of, I saw some packs online. I saw a pack of some people opening these icon packs and getting absolute garbage icons. So someone like me, I don't have an addictive personality. I don't really gamble. I gamble when I feel like I can just turn it off. I don't really have this urge personality. I can quell it. But at that point in time, all I wanted to do was open that pack. But I luckily just saw some things that stopped my mind from thinking like that. If I was a 17 or 18-year-old impressionable kid with a little bit of disposable income, no requirements for money, what else would I do? I would just jump in, put the money on and say, you know what, YOLO it, and just open the pack and, yeah, big deal. Or feel shit about it for the next couple of minutes. But it's so easy to fall into that trap. It is so easy. And if people like you and me are considering those kind of avenues, I'm not saying you did consider, but I did consider, but it's so easy to fall into that trap. And there's no benefit. And that's what really bugs me. And if you spoke to me on Thursday, I was advocating for the fact, looking at Thunderstruck as an example, saying, you know what? If people want to put some points in, open one pack, one or two packs here and there along the way. If you're getting fairly compensated for it, like getting enough fodder for you to go complete an SBC, so be it. But that's completely changed. Completely changed. It's horrendous right now. Anyway.
Yeah, and that is it. The key question is the motivation and the circumstance of each individual. And look, we are never going to sit here. You know, we have in the past, you know, and we're still hashtag bin the points. But both you and I have admitted to, we've spent FIFA points this year. I've spent mine on Evos, but I have dabbled in, you know, 100, yeah. You know, I had, 2,800 points. I did spend a couple of hundred of them on those nano packs to get a couple of loans. So I'm not going to sit here being holier than thou. And also, I'm not suggesting anyone should feel bad if they do buy these packs. If you have that disposable income, you make an educated choice and you realize that, okay, at the absolute worst, I'm getting whatever it is, 1488 plus cards, and I probably won't get a team of the year, but I still want to do that. Please feel free. The problem comes from the people that are desperate to get things that aren't guaranteed within those packs. And that is where it ventures into that gambling territory. Now, I think the other thing with the strategy that EA have gone down this year, you know, we talk about, you know, you talk about people spamming, you know, ultimate packs, 100K packs, jumbo rare player packs. They used to be, bear in mind, those packs used to be tradable, Shaq. Yes. Which would therefore increase the supply of tradable fodder on the market, and it would also include the amount of tradable team of the year icons. So therefore, it would then open up and put these cards into the range of people that didn't want to buy store packs, because, you know, you can just grind the game, you do a little bit of trading and just do gameplay and stuff. It, you know, you will build up a million or two over a not too distant period of time. However, with the fact that most of the best odds are within these untradable giant store packs, the supply has dried up, combined with the miserable pack weight for anybody opening up regular packs like me, you know, the packs I get from League SBCs and things like that, and squad battle rewards, rivals rewards, all that jazz. Look at these prices, Shaq. These prices are absolutely out of the realms of anybody that's not either a pretty pro trader or who's got incredibly lucky or who spends gigantic amounts of FIFA points. Where are you going to get 3.6 million pounds just to drop 3 million pounds, 3.6 million coins to drop on Ruben Dias? Even 3 million to drop on Rodri, 3.3 for Frimpong. Alice, even Alisson, the goalkeeper, is 532,000 coins. Not to mention the fact that Mbappe's extinct, Bellingham 7.7, Haaland 8.4, Teo Hernandez 8.79 for a left back. These are not things that the regular punter playing this game can afford. And EA have helped create that scenario by making the pack weight miserable and by putting people more and more towards untradables.
You know, the thing is, there's aspiration. Like, having aspiration, for example, making these cards at an aspirational price. Say, if Theo was at 2 million, that's at least a price point that you could probably find some way to make it there. If it's 8 million on the market, no one's even going to try to get a Theo. No one's even going to try. And on the PC market, there's not a single one of the team of the years that is available for them to even buy. If someone happens to have 15 million coins, they can't buy a single team of the year. Also, another thing as well, if you look at last year, I saw a team of the year Messi price of last year around this time as opposed to team of the year Messi this year. Last year, team of the year Messi had better links, was in Paris Saint-Germain, was in Liga, where Mbappe was really strong. And he was priced at around this time at 3.5 million. This year in the MLS, Messi's price is 8.5 million. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you look at the price of Theo and compare that with Messi, Messi seems like a bargain. But still, that's not my point. It's just some of these prices. I mean, something's got to give. I'm not even hopeful of EA changing anything, but something's got to give. If this is the expected outcome, something's been missed. This cannot be the expected outcome.
And bear in mind, if you took this to anybody outside the FIFA bubble and I tried to explain this to a colleague at work the other day, because, you know, when Team of the Year came out, and he was like, oh, so you can go out and, you know, also you just have to get these players in packs. I was like, well, no, you can buy them. And he's like, well, how do you get your coins then? I'm like, well, you get certain rewards and you get coins per matches. But when you actually sit here and think about it, you get, even at best, maybe 1,000 coins per game you play. Just do the basic math of how many games you would need to play to get a 3 million player. 1,000 coins, 100 games would get you 100,000 coins. 1,000 games would get you a million coins. And then you're talking 3,000 games to get a left back. And games are absolute best, probably 10 minutes of your time, and usually 15, 20 minutes of your time. And my brain is not even computing the amount of times that they were then taking to play 3,000 games. But in a nutshell, it is out of reach of anybody. Anybody with any kind of life outside of playing EAFC 24 non-stop 24/7.
It's sad. It's only 20 days of effort. It's not that much.
Oh, is it?
20 days. It's just 20 days, straight. Oh, 20 days straight with nothing, no breaks. So get your socks on, Dan. 20 days back to back. Just tell your wife and your kids that all you have to do is play FIFA for 20 days.
And at the end of that, I will have a left back.
Exactly.
So by that metric, it's what? You spent 80 days playing to get Mbappe. Oh, dear. It's like that South Park World of Warcraft episode.
That's exactly right. That's the first thing that's come. We have become those people.
It's, borderline. So look, I don't want this to come off as though I am negative on a lot of this promo. But the thing is that John and Grandpapa Mac talked about this 2-3 weeks ago, saying this is why Team of the Year is actually, for a lot of people, one of the worst promos of the year, because it leads to a lot of disappointment and a lot of frustration because of it. We can't have our cake. It is a very fine balance between wanting these cards to be special and rare, but also making them obtainable. And I think the last 2 years, EA have gone far too far in these are unobtainable, with the extra added unsatisfaction of they may be obtainable, but only if you've got deep pockets.
I stupidly assumed that because Thunderstruck was Black Friday promo, I think it was probably the best promo we've had in the money-driven EA era. It had everything for everyone and had something for everyone as well. And I assumed that Team of the Year would be something similar, but it's so far apart. It beggars belief how different it is to Thunderstruck.
And they're not even a million miles away. I think if you looked at the way the content was structured when just the individual positions were out in packs, I think people were pretty happy because you had those, we mentioned earlier, you had the 83x10, you had the 84x5, you had cracking SBCs out as well. Davies, Fernandez, Sawa, Best.
Yes.
And everyone was pretty happy. There was a way of getting high rated fodder. You complete this. Okay, you weren't getting any blues, but you were progressing your team. As opposed to this week, since the full teams have been out, where it's, they're making it really hard just to generate fodder. And of course, they've turned the pack way down, so getting a blue is terrible. The only logical explanation, Shaq, is that this is a way that they have analysed it to generate pack sales. And that's why we say it. Now, I would love EA Sports, anybody, to come. You've got an open invitation to come onto this show. Not even this show. Go on to any show. Put it in a public forum and have a Q&A. Have a Q&A and defend yourselves. And put your own point across. Please do. I would love to see it. I would love to be proved absolutely wrong. I would love an EA representative to come and say, the pack weight hasn't changed. And for them to come out and say, look, we're disappointed that the cards are this price on the market. Hands up, we got it wrong. We were trying something different with our upgrade policies in this week. Again, we're always experimenting. Even if it's the most generic PR nonsense, but we don't get it. We don't get it. No. We do not get it. And therefore, it's us, shouting into the void. And I try and be as balanced and rational as I can. And again, I do not blame EA Sports for what they do here, because they are a company. They are designed for a profit. They are making a product that is designed to make money. Does it make me feel uneasy the way that this could lead to certain people getting into trouble? Because yes, absolutely. EA will counter that quite rightly by saying we have limits, we have controls, we have parental controls, we have game monitoring. The odds are explained. I absolutely understand that. And it's for a bigger debate. And I don't want to get into it here and delve too much into my own personal feeling on this. But the bottom line here on this is that they're a company that are out there for profit. They're a company that's got no competition. And more importantly, The saddest thing of all, Shaq, is that the profits are going up. So it sends the signal to everybody in that company that they just need to keep going. Exactly. Even if users are going down, even if activity is going down, which we don't even know for sure, because all we have to go on are very loose metrics. It's not going to change at this rate, is it?
Well, one of the metrics that we can see is, for example, weekend league has been extended to have an extra day on weekend league, which is probably good. But the reason is because I think a lot of people were not playing because it just wasn't long enough. People just thought, you know what, I can't do this every weekend. I can't spend this much amount of time to cram everything through my weekend. So they extended it and they've continued to extend it. If that changes, I think a lot of people will drop off as well. And just to touch on your point that about the tradable versus untradable packs, I'm just looking at the best possible tradable pack you can get in the store right now for 250,000 coins and 1,000 FIFA points, or FC points rather. The best pack you can get includes 25 rare gold items, 80 rated or higher, and we all know how that ends up, with one guaranteed to be 87 or higher. One card guaranteed to be 87 or higher for 250,000 coins. Yeah. That's the best you get. And that's the best tradable pack you can buy. And we wonder why there's no supply on the market. It's just...
And look, is this leading towards the topic we talked about last week? Is this just leading towards just going straight to the store to buy your team of the year? You know, 4,000 FIFA points gets you a player pick of a team of the year midfielder, whatever. It could it be? Yeah. I don't know. Go on.
Yeah, one of the things that even Nick mentioned in that video, which really blew my mind that I didn't really consider up until he said it, was the fact that what if EA just turned around and said SBCs, you pay $25 or $15 and you can get the Sour SBC done or a best SBC done. The way it's going right now, I might as well pay $15 rather than go through this whole rigmarole of the store and try my luck and see whatever I get.
And we've moved away. The other important point that you brought up is they call them microtransactions. These are not microtransactions anymore. This isn't spending £5-10 when your game is £60 to buy. It's spending some of these packs are almost as much as it costs you to buy this game. That's not a microtransaction. That's a mega transaction. But look, I don't want to we'll move on. We'll take a break in just a minute, and we'll move on to content and other things like that. Look, I hope that this is, again, I don't want this to come across as just us sitting here for 30 minutes bashing EA, accusing them of being the root of all evil. There will be plenty of people that will have enjoyed this promo. There'll be plenty of people that have got lots of enjoyment out of it. They've enjoyed the content. They've got things done they've wanted to. And I hope actually that 99% of you listening to this show have that experience and you like it and it is great and it's gone well for you. However, I think it's our duty as, you know, voices of a listenership or whatever. And again, we encourage our viewers and our listeners to come in on this, is that, you know, we want all kind of perspectives to be considered here. And it just seems that this doesn't seem to lead to the best emotions and the best feelings and the best behaviors from a community. And that's what I worry about. I don't want to see a game that I love hurting other people, Shaq.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Right. And sorry, go on.
No, I think what we've shared and what you've explicitly mentioned this time is probably what most of the community is feeling. And they've vocally mentioned that on X and a lot of other platforms as well. It's not just isolated to you and me. A lot of people are feeling this grind overload with no end in sight. And there's stupid memes of just keep going, keep going. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
And I'm doing it, and I'm going to keep going. I will keep going on the grind. I will keep going through my league SBCs. I will keep trying, because I know from previous, I've been really lucky. I've got a team of the year every single year, and I know how much that can change. The next pack I open could have a team of the year Mbappe in it. And my opinion then of this entire promo flips, and I fully am out there on that and saying, I said it's like the Winter Wonderland thing. You know, if you've got that nice hot cup of chocolate and you've beaten the rain and you've sat in there snug, you're probably loving it and having a great time. And if you're unlucky enough to be sat outside in the rain and having a really terrible time, you're not going to enjoy it, and your opinion on the whole thing will be negative. We just want it to be a little bit more balanced. You know, yes, there are going to be some people outside while other people are inside, but give them an umbrella. Make it at least like, and that's what we want. We want the umbrella. We want the umbrella of fodder. We want the umbrella of, you know. So anyway, please get your thoughts in on this promo. Again, we've got a poll going up on our socials today about how you're feeling about Team of the Year. And the guys on Friday, Saturday will read that out and give their feelings, because the promo will be over on Friday, Shaq, and we can all move on. But we're going to move on now to a quick break, and then we will be back to round out some of the content. You're listening to Foot in Review, proudly brought to you by footcoaching.com. Remember, you can help support this show directly and receive a host of benefits, including ad-free access to the show, exclusive merchandise, and access to our meetups, which this year is happening once again over in Crete. Simply sign up at patreon.com/footinreview. Also, if you have any feedback on the show, please follow us on our socials at footcoaching. Anyway, let's get on with the show. So, Shaq, we are back from the break. We spent a long time talking, you know, our overall feelings on Team of the Year, but it is rolling on. There has been content. Round us up through some of the latest bits and pieces we've had since the weekend.
We've had a couple of things that have popped up since the weekend. I think, number one, today we got the Hero SBC. Well, actually, we got the Hero SBC yesterday, which was a mess up. And people like me, this is another thing. I'm not trying to be a ranty here, but I woke up in the morning, I had fodder. I was like, yeah, I can finally put my fodder into something. And the SBC was gone because there was a mess up within the SBC where it was handing out 86 rated players when the SBC said 87 plus. Anyway, the Hero SBC was taken off yesterday and brought back on today. So we had the Hero SBC, the player picks, and they were decent. I think I got decent fodder out of it. Nothing great. We also had the 85 plus 2, which was, I think, repeatable twice. We had the 82 into 20, which is, I think it's a daily thing that's coming on, which is probably a good thing for the use of our fodder. Along with that, we had a Dabinia SBC, which looked interesting to begin with, but we'll talk into her a little bit later. And yeah, that's pretty much all we had so far as of today.
Yeah, and objectives in the cup as well. There's a few players in the Team of the Year Cup that you can go out and get. You can do them five game limits a day. I just don't touch cups anymore, Shaq, because I'm in Division 3. Of course, we only got relegated one division when the season's reset on Thursday. So I went from Division 2 to Division 3, and I can't do it. I'm just going to hold my hands up. I don't want to play that sweaty gameplay. I don't need the cards that desperately. I don't think any of them are that great. What is it? Jesus Navas is in there. He seems to get a card every Team of the Year. He seems to get a special card in some form. Benini, again, not particularly worth my time. And Carolyn Nicolai, again, not somebody that I'm going to be going out of my way to get. Although, again, the power shot is nice. Benini's got that pinged pass. Again, half decent. These are all usable cards, especially if you're someone that's maybe started a new RTG. But, Shaq, I mean, are you going in for the cup?
No. I usually try to get the XP done at least just to play the five games if I have the time. But I'm feeling a bit, I don't think I'm as adventurous as I usually am. So I probably will skip the cup this time around. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen a lot of new gold cards introduced as well. A lot of the transfers are starting to update, I've noticed, in the last couple of days. So you might be seeing a few team changes out there as well, worth noting. But let's talk about Dabinia, because, you know, having a five-star SBC out there for 200k on paper is great. But this card, and I know we got a little bit of stick last week for maybe not giving Alphonso Davies enough credit. So I don't want to make the same mistake, although I generally stick by what I said about Davies. Oh, again, yeah. I think this is a very good cam, but the point I go back to, and a bit like with Davies, is why would you go and spend 200,000 coins on this card when you can go out and get gold Neymar?
Exactly. Or you can get exactly the same card for 90, not even 90k. I think she's 70, 80k, the Winter Wild Cards Dabinia. She's one rating below this one. Exactly the same. In fact, she's got the better playstyle plus. In my opinion, she's got the agile dribbling one. I can't remember the technical plus. That's the one it is. She's got the technical plus playstyle plus, whereas this one she's got the Travella shot playstyle plus, which I guess it's not too bad to have. But would I spend another 120k on it? Not really. Dabinia is a card that I used at the start of the game. She was my marquee pack pull at the start of the game. I really enjoyed her, but as time went on, she just isn't big enough. Like, she's just, those technical plus moves don't really come out as well as, say, Apoteas. Apoteas just does a beautiful swing through with her technical plus, whereas with Dabinia, because of her size, she's only 5'1". Yeah. She just doesn't glide around the pitch as well as she should. So, yeah. I mean, look, if you pack Sophia Smith, yeah, sure, just pick this one up. If you do Alex Morgan, Sophia Smith, Dabinia, go for it. That's the trio I use at the start of the game. It's really good fun, but unless you're using the top of the top cards to go along with her. She's not really, not my cup of tea right now, at least. But yeah, she should be fun if you want to try her out.
Yeah, I'm sticking to the mini Messi. I'm sticking to my evolved Frank Kirby on this one and proud of it. So yeah, that does just about wrap up the content. Again, look, the cups there, we don't want to dismiss it. It's especially if you're lower down the divisions, it's not going to take you very long to do some good packs along the way, and I said some cards, and at very worst they'll either be fodder for an SBC or you can chuck them into those exchange SBCs, which Shaq, I'm really going to miss those exchanges because I really hope they stay or they come back, because I've loved having that ability instead of having to go in and start an SBC. I don't really want to do. I've liked being able to just go, oh, okay, this dupe 86, I'll just chuck it in and it gets me another pack towards grinding league SBCs. So that's been one of my favorite things, I think, of this entire promo.
Probably, that's probably been the, as Inception keeps saying, it's the L2 guy that's created the exchange SBC. And that's so true. It's just been, yeah, it's been a really good SBC. Probably one of the only positives.
Inception's L2 guy, by the way, is he loves to praise whoever came up with the basically just to press L2 and go quickly between different sections of the game. So and whenever something positive comes out, he says, that's the L2 guy. it's the same as when me and Chris used to talk about the evil twins at EA, you know, the good twin.
Yeah.
Would release the good the good twin was on last week in, before the full teams were in packs, and then the evil twin obviously came back when Team of the Year was out in full. So yeah, decent options. I think the content is slowing now, but it always does slow down, especially in the last couple of days. Recording this, by the way, on Tuesday morning. It always does sort of slow down once you get through that weekend of full team of the year. They start to, you know, it's the whole feast and famine that we talked about over and over again on this show. They want to give people that mental break to be able to come back fresh, whatever promo they've got to throw at us next. But let's move on then and talk about, we'll quickly do player review. Then we'll just finish up with our own thoughts and our own progress over the last couple of weeks through Weekend League. Let's go through player and review, Shaq. You want to talk about an SBC that a lot of people are completing, Sauer.
Oh, well, I started off with Sauer. I used her loan at the start of Weekend League and I thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed her. She was everything I wanted off a midfield player. I was looking for this dogged partner for Hullet who can do a little bit of passing the ball around, hold the ball, move around with the ball, take it forward if I need to, and score the odd goal. I don't tend to score a lot of goals with my midfielders. It's probably my game, my play style, where I use my midfielders to actually create everything and just leave it to my attackers to do all the scoring. And she's just been phenomenal for the way I play to partner Hullet. Her left stick holding the ball in the center of midfield is impressive, extremely impressive. And I use her inside the box a lot just to try and weasel her way through different defenders and just to make that final killer pass just to get a goal off. And she's been really, really fun to play with. And I think she's also really good at getting the ball back as well. She's dogged. She reminds me of Fakante. She's got everything. She's literally probably going to be one of my favorite cards I've used this year in midfield. And to partner Hullet, I couldn't think of a better player.
Yeah, it's what, and you've advocated me completing this SBC, and I think the only reason is because I love having that medium high work rate on my pure CDM, and because the other CM I've got is Hullet, and the player that I'm going to review is N'Golo Kanté, the flashback SBC that came out the other day. If you love Kanté, if you've played with a high end Kanté in any of the last few titles, you know what you're going to get with this guy. The interceptions are amazing. The mobility and the agility, amazing. He will pop up a bit to the pitch and you're like, how has he managed to get back there? Just does it. Seems to teleport around. The passing is okay. It's not as bad as you think. The 2-star, 3-star, again, it's workable. It's not massively. You're never really going to be skilling around with Kanté anyway. If you just need that pure CDM, great. The downside on this card for me is the strength. And especially when you get into heavy gameplay, he wasn't winning the bounce backs. Like, he would win the ball cleanly a lot, but if he was getting involved in a tussle with somebody, there were times when the person would just bully him off the ball. And that was proving a problem for me. Now, he played the whole weekend league for me. I started at 6-2. I then went 2-5. And I was at breaking point, literally at close to controller breaking point. Thankfully, for my own sanity, I had to go and watch a real football game, watch Reading draw with Leyton Orient. So I had a good reason to step away from the controller and rethink everything. Came back, and I put Koundé back into the team, the Winter Wild Card Jules Koundé, and everything seemed to click again. And I think for me, it's because Koundé's got that bruiser plus, and I am very much into my manual defending and putting in those strong shoulder bargey type tackles. And Kante just couldn't do that. So I think if you're someone that relies a lot more on mobility, go and get Kante. If you're someone that is, you know, a bit more Route 1, Old England style, 4-4-2, get up and at them, two bruisers in there, then maybe it's not quite the player. Maybe you would like someone with a bit more strength. And again, that's why I've gone back to Koundé. But I would say complete it. I think he's going to sit on my bench probably for the rest of the game now. If I'm looking to close games out, especially late on when you're coming up against, you know, usually attackers that haven't got that strength late on, I think he's going to be perfect. So it gets I think I can say 6.5 out of 10.
Wow. That's a tight review. That's a very, I wouldn't say it's a harsh one, but yeah, that's, yeah, average, just about average.
Yeah. And we come at this from the point of view of probably mid to high tier teams. As opposed to, you know, again, if you're just coming up and you're starting a new team, it can be absolutely fantastic. And he's a bit cheaper than some of the other SBCs out there. So if you are tight on fodder as well, and maybe Sawa is looking out of reach for you, consider doing Kante. But I've talked about some of my weekend league struggle. Shaq, how did you get on this weekend?
Let's just start by saying I had probably a fantastic start to the weekend league. As I said, I was using Ronaldinho, I was using Lawn Sawa. I was loving life. I went 5-0. And I was thinking, yep, this is the week that is going to happen. And then I had the audacity to actually touch some grass and go spend some time with my friends and not play weekend league on one of the nights, which meant I had to rush. So I went from 5-0 to 7-2, which is not too bad. And then for whatever reason, I went to 8-5. And at that point, I just wanted to get the ninth win, which is why I just was just rushing through. Just wanted to get the ninth win, and because I didn't know if I could play any further. I thought, I'll just get to 9 and then I'll just forget about it. I'll see what I can do. Went to 8-5, and then things took a horrible, horrible, horrible turn. I went to 9-5 and then 9-6, and I had 3 disconnections back to back. I just winning each game. First game, I was really surprised why the guy didn't quit, because I was 3-0 up in the 15th minute. The game got disconnected at the 30th minute. I was like, this is odd. But I was like, you know what? That's fine. I'm playing really good FIFA. Came back in. Again, scored a really quick goal. And I was 2-0 up by the 15th or 20th minute. I was loving life. I was like, yep, this game's going to get sorted. Got disconnected. Happened for the third time. When it happened the third time, that's when I thought, 9-9 is ridiculous. It's a horrible state to be in. I didn't think I could play again that night. I didn't really want the pressure at that point in time, because I had to go to bed and I wasn't going to play again. I just left weekend league. I just thought, you know what? Screw it. I left it at 9-9. I think this is the first time this year I haven't touched 11, but I couldn't care. At that point in time, I was so angry with the game yesterday, with the disconnections. And apparently a lot of people did have the disconnections around the same time that I did. So yeah, it's just bad luck, I guess.
Very bad luck. And I think, again, we all put that internal pressure on ourselves. We have certain expectations of how we expect to finish in weekend league. But when you're in your position, Shaq, in like that, you just got to move on. It's literally not your fault. There's nothing you can do. And the rewards difference between 9 and 11 is, and between 9 and 14 is just, there's nothing in it. I said I got 11 in the end. I finished 11. I've actually finished 12 and 8 because I was doing some Evos. And I think I got 188, 186, and that was it. No sign of a blue. My team of the year so far has been 2 honorable mention Edisons on my main account. On my second account, which I've literally just touched to log in and do daily upgrades, I got Zola within about 10 minutes of the team of the year icons being in. And that was the only thing I've got on that. But for my main account, 2 Edisons. That is it. And I've been going through the league SBCs over and over. And I think yesterday I genuinely spent 6 or 7 hours of my time just going through those same league SBCs over and over again.
Do you know what? I love those. You spoke to me about the league SBCs, and I've kept doing the league SBCs all year. And that Prem League segment, for whatever reason, brings out the best luck for me. I don't know what it is about that particular Prem League SBC. This time, this week, with Team of the Year, it's just been horrible. I don't even get 83s. I don't even get 83 out of that pack.
I wasn't tracking anything. So your memory can play tricks on you, but I spoke about this last week. I was going through and doing League SBCs ever since Team of the Year came into packs. I did have a saved cache of about 50 really good ones, but I was opening up everything. And the nightly upgrades we were getting, I was opening. So I was opening them 84x5s, I was opening them 83x10s. And I was doing these League SBCs. I was getting so much fodder through that I did Kante without blinking. Just rattled through it. But yeah, the whole weight has gone down. It's undeniably gone down. But again, we don't have a transparent company. We don't have any representation. We have no voice. We have nobody to talk to. And going back to the whole thing that we talked about for 25, 30 minutes at the top of the show, please, just, you know, ultimately, that is why such theories can go on and why we have to make these assertions, because they don't communicate with us. We'll be the first people to come out with an hour-long correctional show and read out everything you've got to say if you want to come out and address the concerns of the community. But they don't. For whatever reason, they don't. So we can't. Let's finish up with the mailbag. Of course, again, the Discord is open for everyone, folks, and we have a questions section in there that you can submit questions at any point for the upcoming shows. We've had one from someone called John Foot Coaching. Don't know who he is. Sure, he's not very important. He says, the boss says, I love this way of asking questions now that we have an open Discord. And his question is, what's the main reason you think people should join our new open Discord shack?
Ooh. Well, firstly, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of banter. And I think it's a really good place, especially when you look for closure, when you're having those horrible games during weekend league, the kind of people you meet along the way really make the journey worth it. Because FIFA is a very lonesome game. You just play by yourself and you're just raging with yourself and just getting upset with a lot of things. You're not backing the right players. You're not going to be able to complete SBCs. You don't really have an avenue to just go and have a quick chat with someone and just to vent, and someone who can just listen and just have a conversation back to and fro. This place is amazing on the weekend, especially when people are going through the weekend league and they're going through the trials and tribulations. You just pop in a message and you see the people coming back and saying, "Ah, yes, mate, this happened. Oh, yeah, the games." Like, for example, even yesterday when I was going through the meltdown, the Discord was, you could clearly make out, okay, the Discord's having the same sort of issues that I'm having. That just made me think, okay, it's not just me. And you just feel like a lot better, a lot lighter. And it's a really fun place to actually hang out. So come on in. Don't be shy. People are really friendly as well. So just come on in.
Yeah. And look, it's moderated as well, we should say as well. So look, if you've had bad experiences in other Discords, you know, we are going to be keeping, you know, the doors are open, but look, behave yourselves, people, behave yourselves. You know, don't want Ingvi to have to throw you out. You won't like him when he's angry. But I think for all the reasons you said, it's that sense of community. It is like me when I was having that horrific run on Saturday. It's having that place to vent, and also, you know, people to put your arm around your shoulder. And also when you do well, you pack something, it's the people to lift you up. And not to mention you can bounce, you know, an SBC comes in, and we talk about it here on the show, like, oh, do you think you should do X or Y? You've got all these opinions. So if you're thinking of doing an SBC, I can go and say, oh, is there anyone out there who's used both Sauer and Bellingham? Could you compare the two? And there'll be someone that's done it. Or, you know, and there's evolution pathways and all sorts of stuff. So it's just a great place. I love it. It's the reason it keeps me going. Even when I have these frustrations around things like Team of the Year, I never want to walk away from this fantastic community. So I'd love to see some fresh faces in there. So come and hop in. And our final question comes from Adam, a man who saved so many packs and did get a blue. And I absolutely love the fact that he was rewarded for his patience with a blue. You know, did he have, what, over 500 packs in the end?
Yes, over 500 packs. Yeah, over 500 packs, but he did get a blue. So
he did, but he has got a blue. He got Millie Bright. So yes, future's bright. For those of you old enough to remember the orange advertisements in the UK. He asks, where does this Team of the Year rank compared to previous years? Is it better, worse, the same, or different? I can't even tell by now. Shaq, what's your gut instinct?
Look, it's probably, for me, last year's Team of the Year was bad, but this year it's even worse. And I think, yeah, it's probably the worst Team of the Year we've had. I personally think. I think it's just the fact that even the cards are not attainable on the market. And I think one of the things you mentioned last year was Alawera, and who was the other one that you mentioned?
Captivia.
Those prices kept going up and up and up because the Team of the Years were so rare. And that's probably what's annoying me the most, because I was finally getting to a stage where I really wanted to try different cards. I always like trying different cards every now and then. If those cards keep creeping up, it's just going... And When they creep up, one of the things that bothers me is you never know when they will crash. All you need is one good day of content and everything just pops down to what the price it should be. And that's the problem. I don't want to be caught out holding a card that just drops half its value in one night. And yeah.
Especially this year when we've seen EA randomly put Best Of back into packs out of nowhere. Like when those Champions League cards just suddenly repopped into pack. Can you imagine if they did that, like Team of the Year Encore around like whatever they, you know, because of course we don't know the promos that are going to be coming up. It's a brand new game. They've moved away from the FIFA name. So are they going to have Foot Birthday? Is it going to be Utt's Birthday? I don't know. So it could quite easily be a time where you see suddenly Team of the Year cards go back into packs. And yeah, it's crash town. But I think it's probably about the same. Actually, if I think back to last year, and yes, the pack weight and the market value makes it worse, but actually I think the players they've made available via SBCs have been better. And I think, again, the first week when all the individual positions were in packs, there wasn't a lot to complain about. They had good players. Yeah. The fodder was available. There were things to do. There were objectives. The Evos as well have been okay, not been brilliant, but again, it's added something else for you to get on with, and I appreciate that. So overall, I think it's the same. I just think some things have been worse, some things have been a little bit better. But, you know, the things that have been worse haven't been enough to drag it down, and the things that have been better haven't been enough to lift it up. So I can't remember what I would have given Team of the Year last year. I think I probably would have given it about a 5 or a 6 out of 10, and I'd probably give it the same again.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think that's 5 or 6 is a good rating.
Yeah. So look, we could be here next week, Shaq. You know, we've still got 3 days to grind. Me and you could be here next week with our Mbappes and our Messis, and we'd be loving life. So look, you never know. But also, I think just to finish off, if, as we said last week and the week before and throughout this, if you haven't got a blue, it's not going to make a difference. And I think the one good thing, Shaq, about the prices being so high and the pack weight being so low is that my experience, I don't know what your experience was, but I didn't see a lot of permanent blues in my weekend league run. I saw a lot of loans. I saw, you know, a lot of the lesser tier ones. I saw the odd, you know, Oberdorf. Yeah. But I wasn't coming up against Team of the Year Mbappe, Ronaldo. I didn't see Ronaldo. So therefore, it didn't matter. I wasn't facing Team of the Year Van Dijk all the time. So did it matter that I don't have him myself?
I came up against Sophia Smith in one of those games, and she scored quite a few goals against me. And I saw that first owner mark on the card, and that did annoy me a little bit.
it will annoy you, but what I'm saying is it's not like if you don't have these cards, you're left behind, because I think the vast majority of people don't have them.
That's absolutely right. I would hate to come up against that Team of the Year Virgil van Dijk in every game. That would just be a nightmare.
And you talk about Sophia Smith or Sam Kerr, or, you know, Gisabio is still available to craft, and he's probably just as good.
Completely right.
Best Completely is probably right. Just as good as getting a lot of these cards. Is there that much difference between Hansen and Best? Probably not. Not for most of us mere mortals controlling these players. So, look, good luck to everybody out there. I hope, as we said earlier, I really hope that people are having a great time through this promo and you've got the players you want, you've enjoyed the experience, and you're having fun with this game. If you're not, and if you're struggling mentally, take a step back, just walk away, stop grinding the companion app, just go away for a bit. In 3-4 weeks' time, we'll have different promos out. Team of the Year will be a thing of the past, and we'll just be moving. And suddenly it'll be like, oh, Team of the Season's around the corner. And we all know that Team of the Season's is a completely different kettle of fish. You'll be packing 93s that you just discard almost because you've just got no room for them. So the game could change quickly. But anything for you to add, Shaq, before we go?
That's pretty much it. It's been a fun conversation. It's been cathartic, to say the least. But yeah, it is what it is. And I like your positive approach towards the outlook for the game as well. Because at the end of the day, in a couple of weeks' time, we would just be moving on with our lives with a different promo and different cards. So, and what we have in our clubs is probably as good as what is in packs.
Absolutely. Go out there and enjoy yourselves. If you want to spend points and you got the money, spend points. If you don't want to spend points, don't spend points. If you want to grind, grind. If you don't, don't. Don't feel under pressure to do anything that you want to do. Tailor this game to your experience. It's a game at the end of the day. And as I said, the Discord is open. If you want to come and cry, laugh, you know, share in your joy, that is what we are all here for. The more community we've got, the better. Because as I said, we're not getting much community from the people making the game, so we'll do the best to do with what we've got. So, you know, we'll keep fighting the good fight, and hopefully you've enjoyed this. The folks will be back. John and Co will be back over the weekend discussing, you know, having a full team of the year mop up and talking about whatever promo we have come next as well, of course. So keep an eye out for that. Follow the Discord link. It will be posted on the show notes. And any final words, Shaq?
No, that's pretty much it. I think I haven't heard anything about the next promo. So, yep, let's see what's in store for us.
Silver Week is coming. Silver Week is coming. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh, dear.
Don't even start.
It'll be pitchforks. It's been a fantastic show, Shaq. Thank you very much for your time, as always. We'll be back, hopefully, next week for the early part of the show. Keep an eye out on your feeds. Thank you for all the support. Thank you. Great to see those new faces in the Discord already. Thank you for those 5-star reviews. And a big thank you to our Patreon members as well. We are opening up the Discord, but your support is just exceptional, and we thank each and every one of you for that. Until next time, only one thing left to say, Shaq.
Drop it.
We're going to drop it.
Drop it.
F U T. In view.